himself. That was Perez Hilton welcoming us to episode 11 of BGM, Bad Gay Movies, Bitchy Gay Men. We will be covering another gay sequel, Gays Gone Wild by Todd Stevens. I am your co-host, Bill Antonio, and with me is...
Daniel Krolik.
And...
Michael Soulard.
Right. So, Michael...
I don't know if I have the strength for this.
I can't deal with that clip.
No. Bill, didn't you just tell me on email that it's been a year since we've been doing this?
Almost. It'll
almost
be a year.
Months.
No, it's... Actually, it's... We started in February,
right,
so...
Yeah.
When is our anniversary? Do we know?
No, but I'm sure that... I'm sure it's in the history book somewhere.
Okay.
Our Wikipedia page.
Our Wikipedia page.
Will still tell us.
Oh, God.
The one that I created. Mikey, I'm about to do something very mean to you, and I'm going to ask you to summarize this movie. Another gay sequel. Gays Gone Wild.
All right.
Oh, suck it up.
If I have to. All right. Friends, Andy, Nico, Jared, and Griff, who only one of the cast members came back for the sequel, which
as
I'm sure you'll cover.
Explicitly clear in the opening
explicitly.
Sequence.
This foursome make their way for gay spring break in Fort Lauderdale and do what apparently everyone does and participates in the popular Gays Gone Wild contest, where all fags, big and small, compete for the most fuck stamps. Throughout being bombarded with gayvertising, their quest to get, and I quote Perez Hilton's sexy song-ending cornhole rape.
Why did he use Perez Hilton and sexy in the same sentence? That's a terrible thing to do.
He's very sexy,
okay.
Daniel. Come
I
on.
I actually have no idea about any of the words you've been using up until now, but go on.
Yeah, well, it's the last song as the credits roll. Anyway, the... their quest to get cornhole raped gets littered with self-discoveries and a whole bunch of other junk happens.
Bill just spit out his chocolate mousse.
Excellent. That's not code for anything,
no,
people.
It's
actually
just
chocolate
mousse.
It's just not often that cornhole rape happens in comedy.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Although, now that we've watched this movie, we realize it should happen more.
Well, I think it was brought up in The Mirror Has Two Faces, wasn't it?
I think so.
In the scene where Lauren Bacall told Barbara Streisand that she was pretty.
Which is...
I.e. cornhole rape. Yeah,
which is Jewish mother cornhole rape, basically. For a different generation.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I studied that in preparation for my bar mitzvah.
Sorry.
The mic is covered in chocolate, so if you can't hear us, sorry.
So did we like another gay movie?
The first
sort
one?
Of
I was going to ask you guys that. Did you guys see the first
I
one?
I never saw the
seen
first
it.
One.
It's...
The first one is a passably sweet... fun movie, and I like that movie more for its goal than for its result, which is that, you know, because we're of the generation, we understand this whole series of movies made in the 80s that were all teen-oriented, they were all raucously bawdy comedies, usually at camp or in high school or whatever, and they were all about comedies about the ritualistic passages, basically, rituals of passage, I should say. And they're always about straight teenagers. And so and the first Another Gay Movie was an attempt to remake American Pie for gay audiences.
Almost exactly.
Makes sense.
And so that gay teenagers would have this too, which is great. I find it a bit too... A lot of the best of those movies, like American Pie, which I actually do like, or Meatballs or what have you, there's an element of sweetness to them that Another Gay Movie doesn't have because it's a bit angry and sharp. A bit crass, a bit.
Yeah.
And then with the sequel, I find that it just gets... Everything just gets fucking out of control. Yeah.
But
and...
even... But the thing about the crass stuff in Another Gay Movie was the teenagers were all versions, so they responded to the crass stuff.
Yeah.
They didn't take it as...
Because that was the point, right?
Package.
They were trying to get rid of their virginity
right.
before they
yeah.
got to camp
yeah.
or college.
It was really the same
yeah.
the same plot of American
okay.
Pie.
But there was
okay.
the,
yeah.
but there
and
was something...
Fucks,
even though, like, Matthew Rush made a cameo and stuff, there was something sort of scrappy about it.
Yeah.
And there was something sort of genuinely sexy when these characters actually did hook up.
Yeah.
By the end of the movie.
Well, there's
in
some
the
sexy
one.
Sex in this one, too.
Sure.
It's just that this movie is fucking disgusting.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I don't have much trivia about it, other than that it was filmed in Fort Lauderdale in 20 days, in December of, what, 2007
20 days.
Or something?
It shows.
It played at a bunch of film festivals starting in June of 2008 at the San Francisco International LGBT Film Festival. It didn't play at Toronto's Inside Out, but it did play... at the Nova Scotia Reel Out Festival in July of 2008. Those East Coasters must have loved that. All the way up until the Espoo Film Festival in Finland in August of 2009. Apparently the first one did well enough at the box office for there to be a sequel. This is the first time we've
ever
covered a sequel.
Did the first one get a commercial release? Was it like...
I don't remember it playing in a theater.
I rented
it on DVD. I rented this one on DVD too. Okay, this is the trauma I've experienced with the sequel, which is that I rented it. I turned it off after 20 minutes because I couldn't take it.
Me too!
And then... I rented it again because I was like, I don't know, maybe I'll get something out of it because the boys are really pretty and whatever. And then I watched it and then I really regretted my life. And then I had to watch it again for the show and I hate myself a lot.
But they're pretty in that sort of TLA kind of way. And I'm pretty sure like Leni Riefenstahl is like a casting director because they're all cut from like the vaguely Aryan swatch.
And even more so than in the
hairless,
first one. The guys in the first one were really cute, but they were a little bit more real looking.
Yeah. They were like actors who just happened to shave their bodies.
And in recasting them, because apparently, according to the opening scene, these guys didn't want to do a second gay movie because then their agents told them not to.
Stereotypes you.
It's like, maybe they read it.
But
like,
that
was the only reason they did this.
But this was like watching Triumph of the Will with Dirty Sanchez.
Well, yeah, because in recasting them, he doesn't make any attempt whatsoever to go anywhere near what the guys looked like in the first one. Like, the power bottom guy, whatever his name is like this tall blonde thing.
Which, in the first one?
In the second one.
He's
one
a ginge.
Who falls in love with the Latin guy who's a virgin.
Andy.
He doesn't look anything like the guy.
Who I thought for a while was Kelly Ripa's husband.
Oh,
you know Mark Consuelos?
Oh my god.
Yeah.
I also like to...
That's diversifying.
...point out the irony of these movies by finding good reviews of them. And it was actually rather difficult.
Is this from Roger Ebert's website?
Mm-hmm. No.
Pauline Kael?
No.
I read a lot of reviews and people were like, I really prefer the first one.
Yeah. Dustin Putman writes, parodies and references to other films are plentiful and in some cases happily unpredictable. Narrowing in on its gay-centric sensibilities and foreknowledge of who its target audience is. He obviously saw this on a very good day. Celebrity blogger Perez Hilton is a great sport playing a fictional version of himself who experiences a spiritual awakening after joining the Mile High Club with a priest on the flight to Fort Lauderdale. Mikey, get that. Whatever Happened to Baby Jane also is humorously recalled, as is a choice scene from 1997's wonderful Romeo and Michelle's high school reunion. Okay, to clarify, it is not a scene that is recalled from Romeo and Michelle, it's one line. He says one line that is not even cutely referencing the movie, they just stole a line from another movie and everyone's talking about it.
I didn't even catch that.
Oh, would you excuse me? I cut my foot a while ago and my shoe is filling up with blood. That's a line from Romeo and Michelle's high school reunion, for any of us who've watched it 100 million times, not naming names.
I thought the Baby Jane reference was kind of cute because it was Scott Thompson doing it.
Another gay sequel isn't quite as memorable as the inaugural Another Gay Movie. Memorable is pushing it, but okay.
Yeah.
But there is something rather laudable and groundbreaking about a series that takes the endless mainstream comedies released each year about straight people and joyfully turns them on their heads for a certain segment of the audience who rarely see themselves recognized and counted. It's about time. Very fair, but that doesn't change the fact that this movie completely gets it wrong.
That this wasn't even a movie. This was just a 90-minute commercial for gay sex products.
Absolutely, yeah. This is how they raise a lot of their budget, because this movie
had
a very good budget. The music budget alone was...
Nancy Sinatra sang the opening theme song.
Yeah, and they have Cuco Diamante singing. She's a popular Cuban singer.
Do you have a seizure?
What?
Did you just have a seizure?
Cuco Diamante, she sings a song called Más Fuerte that they sing on the soundtrack.
Of course. Thank you
very much. I know my accent is very sexy. Tim Cogshell writes, the sequel begins with a decapitation and an electrocution, which is odd for a movie that's really about nothing more than getting laid. It's mostly Pee-wee's Playhouse on meth.
Oh, yeah.
Brian Orndorff, .com writes, pushed into the madness of the week's festivities, the men are forced to consider matters of the heart before indulging their carnal desires, leading to serious questions of self-acceptance in the middle of a sun-kissed orgy of sexual possibilities.
Oh my God.
I want to have a sun-kissed orgy of
sexual
possibilities.
Yeah, except he has a self-awareness speech at the end that is not planted anywhere else in the movie, but we'll also get into that. Perez Hilton is so awful, he can't even manage to convincingly play himself.
Thank you.
I give the performance one Microsoft Paint semen dribble trickling down from a slack-jawed celebrity mouth out of 5.
I think that's very generous.
And Ed Gonzalez does not give this movie much praise on the village. In the Village Voice, he writes, bigger, longer, and uncut, but only in the phallic sense, this mincing bad time is built entirely around shrill pop cultural references. But how queer am I for knowing that its only funny line was lifted whole from the great Romeo and Michelle's high school reunion? So yeah, so it begins with Nico having a dream that is referencing Psycho, which again, so the other thing I was going to talk about is that the first one does sort of remake American Pie, and in the sequel, I feel like they're trying to remake what, Annette Funicello?
Where the Boys Are.
Yeah, like yeah. Beach Blanket Bingo.
Or more so like the 80s, like booby comedies, like Spring Break and yeah, all of that. Totally. All
but
that
then
stuff.
But then also includes zombie movies, horror movies, and then the
Well,
Sliver
the first one had
like
a Carrie Shetta. The first one had like Carrie at the Prom, and you know, it had a bunch of.
But this one feels a bit
like
out
that.
Of control. And then Hollywood musicals, because there's a song about golden showers that I can't believe someone wrote.
I know.
That's like 5 minutes long.
Yeah. And, like, that performer, who is wonderful, the guy who plays Nico.
But he's a dancer.
Like
he's game. Yeah. He's game.
Yeah, he
he's game, not...
Yeah,
he's
I
game.
Know.
Yeah.
But he learned that. Thank you. He had to learn that song.
Yeah.
Which is, like, a dream sequence within a dream sequence.
I'm also assuming...
It's a shining moment, though. They had to give him something, because he came back for the second one,
yeah.
So...
And he was the only one who was... Yeah. And I love that he was, like, the flaming one in the first one, and that just wasn't enough, because in this one, he's, like, nuclear. Like, he is not even effeminate, he's Diana Ross.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
In rehab.
He's like, Little Lady.
Yeah.
Although I love his outfits, I love every
scene. I love
scene
it, but, like, how many suitcases did he bring
change.
With him to this island?
Just one.
He's, like, and, like, they have a pirate, the booty-themed pirate party, so he's wearing, like, a parrot on his shoulder, and...
And then he comes I out, have, but, like, there, but there and is then a... the next scene, he's Lady Gaga in a lawn chair. It's
yeah,
the best.
But there is one scene where he, like, takes off the curtains, and then the next scene you see him wearing it at the beach.
And he also...
I wish I had that talent.
He also makes puns like Kiki the Tiki, and then laughs for 5 minutes at yeah. his own joke, and it's not funny.
God bless.
What's sad is that we all know people like that.
I assume
some of us
also
were people like that in the
that
90s.
The first one was successful because they have a lot of, they have way better supporting players in this movie than they deserve, because they've got Scott Thompson, they've got mm-hmm. RuPaul.
Mm-hmm. Lady Bunny.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then the woman who plays the mother at the beginning, Stephanie McVeigh, she's not famous, but she was in Edge of 17, which the writer and director of this film wrote.
Oh, okay.
She was the mother. And she was the mother in the first Another Gay Movie, which was her parodying her role in Edge of 17.
Well, one of my notes that I have is that I actually really commend the cast, because this movie is so ridiculous, but it seems like they genuinely are having fun doing it, which is very shocking.
I feel like they're trying to, but the director... is not having fun, because at the beginning we make that crack about, like, I know that he wants to say something about the industry by having her point out, oh, they don't want to do a second gay movie because their agents told them not to. She says it very slow, as if we're going to have trouble understanding it.
And I think they actually say it to the camera too.
They yes. do, yeah.
And
yeah,
then,
yeah.
But there's slams because, and then Nico's like, these guys are a lot cuter than I remember. Like, why is the director so mad? Just get over it. Like, we start with a very bitter tone, I find, with
because
that.
Because he's
and it
gay,
never
and gays
lets
hold
up.
Grudges.
It's true. Gays and Jews. And
then...
and Greeks.
I love... The reason I love... The reason I love that you always point out that you're the Jewish member of this trio is because it makes you Bette Midler in our First Wives Club.
I hope so. Yes. I'm not... I don't want to be no Diane Keaton.
No, I'm Diane Keaton. I'm the
you won the lottery, then you're Goldie. You're Goldie Hawn.
You're Goldie Hawn.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yes.
I'm not even awake yet.
Yeah. At least we're not preparing ourselves to steal magnolias.
Stay
like
tuned next. Stay tuned next week for my dramatic weight loss.
I love it.
There's also a ridiculous innocence to those beach blanket bingo movies that, again, I know that this movie is ironically avoiding, but it doesn't parody it either. And then, of course,
it's
also
so crass.
But it's also
so
co-opting
crass.
The culture of Spring Break, which is all about like. Senseless carnality, except yeah. now it's
but,
not.
But what this
teenagers.
Movie does in a sort of unintentional way is it captures the whole sexual hysteria of gay culture while completely contradicting itself at the end of the movie, and then tells everyone that they should be in monogamous coupled relationships.
Yeah.
So you finish this movie feeling very confused about what the film wants to tell its audience, which is exactly indicative of what gay culture does.
This movie's attitude towards sexuality I find very unhealthy, and it makes
Absolutely.
Me very, very angry,
yeah.
and not because I'm a prude. As soon as they show up at Spring Break, and it's all like, the contest is to fuck as much as you can, and then the prize is a guy to fuck, which is weird.
With no ramifications.
This cake-eating contest, eat the most cake, and then you get cake. Which I don't get. But also, I remember the first time I watched this, I'm like, why does this make me angry? Because I am not all about, like, narrow monogamy. I'm all about enjoying... sex just for pleasure. I'm all about having sex with someone just because they're good looking. Like, I am completely hedonistic that way.
You're no Perez Hilton.
I am no Perez Hilton. No. The reason why it makes me angry is because making guys fuck as much as they can to collect stamps is commodifying something that should just be fun. Like, how are you going to have fun fucking if you're like, hold on, let's get this over with because I need to move on to the next one to get a stamp? Like, these guys are young and beautiful. They should just enjoy being young and beautiful. There's that scene with the Jaspers, which we'll get into, where, like, one guy's fucking a guy while looking at his binoculars across the other way. The other guy's getting fucked while drinking champagne and, like, checking his phone or whatever. Why aren't they enjoying fucking? Like, I just find that really, really unhealthy. It's like The Color Purple. If you walk by The Color Purple and don't take a look, God gets angry. That's how I feel.
It is exactly. So who's the Oprah?
And then, this is my note about Nico, which I said before, which is that he is, like, so extreme in this one compared to the last one. He's also very comical without ever being funny.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Okay.
Yeah. And then Perez Hilton is when he appears is on the plane to prove that he's not just hideous, but really untalented.
Oh, God.
He's a very unwelcome presence in a movie. Like, there's something really...
He contaminates everything around
him. He's a very unwelcome presence in our lives.
Yeah.
Like, on our computer
screens. I guess so, but he's part of that sort of celebrity blogging culture that you can avoid if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
I find him so much more pervasive being in a movie because it's like, I can't look anywhere else.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
It's like when Britney Spears acts, and it's like antimatter. You know, like, just the world just implodes. Some people have that kind of negative energy about them. And then Andy is constantly making references to the fact that he's become a major power bottom, and he always punctuates this by shoving his ass up into the air. I don't understand why you can't just say it and we just trust you.
Oh, because you have to show it. You have to show it because it's discrediting the audience watching it.
Yes. But throughout the whole movie, every time he, like, meets a guy, he shoves his ass in the guy's face like he's a dog or a baboon. Yeah.
Drinking game. Another gay sequel, Drinking Game.
Gross. Yeah, and on Perez Hilton, I never, ever want to hear Perez Hilton say the word poppers and public sex in the same sentence again.
Absolutely. It almost makes me want to give up both of those things.
Did you guys also notice that when he goes into the bathroom, he has sex with a priest in the bathroom?
Yes.
Or he's about to, and then he gets
blowing. Well, he sucks off a priest.
Mm-hmm. But does he, because he gets on his knees and the priest starts gyrating before he's even lifted up his cassock?
Oh, maybe it's an exorcism.
Yeah. Do people know how sex works?
Do you not do that, Bill?
The snakes on the plane line actually made me laugh. I will admit, I did laugh at
there that. Are some
in
moments.
In a 2007 kind of way.
In a 2007 kind of way. And then they arrive at the resort. Why did we need the shot of a guy with shit stains on his ass?
And the fully accompanying it, the squishy thong sound.
Probably what I wrote. What's with all the sucking sounds?
Yeah.
Like, what was happening in that sound booth when they were, like, mixing and editing this movie?
I feel it's like an old-timey radio thing with a bunch of props
on the table. Just like, meep.
Like, whoopee cushions.
But, like, why can't you be naughty or risque? Why do you have to be stupidly disgusting?
Because we have to match the straight culture?
But
I guess
I've never seen a straight body comedy where a girl walks around with shit stains on her badge or something. Whatever girls have down there, I don't really know.
I know. It's all foreign to
us. I don't
want to
talk about it.
But, you know, it's really funny because throughout watching this movie, I was thinking, like, what if I invited a bunch of my straight friends and said, hey, guys, let's watch this movie. I wonder what the reaction would be. What, you know, what would they think of us gays?
You wouldn't
at
know
that
because
point.
You would be, like, hanging yourself halfway
I would.
Through.
Well, like you, it took me a week to watch this movie because I turned it off three times.
Yeah. It's exhaustingly bad.
Yeah.
I did it in one fell swoop.
Wow, you're
and
good.
I'm still here.
Were you wasted?
I'm still here. No, it was like in the middle of the day.
Good for you.
Then
I'm
we
not
meet,
proud of myself.
We meet the Jaspers, and I feel like when they show up, something could be funny.
Thank you, yeah.
Because you're playing with the conventions. Again, they're playing with the conventions of, like, the 40-year-old Annette Funicello movies.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Well, that, but when they showed up, I was like, yes, gays and mean girls.
Yeah,
here
we
go. Mm-hmm. It's going to be awesome. But
except
it wasn't.
I also don't understand the whole... What, first of all,
the
why
whole
they...
racist, the whole offensive Asian Jasper?
Totally. Oh, totally. There's major racist slams on Jasper Chan. But also, why is there even this rivalry in the first place? The contest is to fuck as much as you can. So just fuck as much as you can.
Are they from the first movie?
No. The Jaspers? No.
So they just show up and then...
There's no connection
automatically...
other than the guys. Yeah.
Oh, that's so weird.
The first movie is a high school sex comedy and this is a beach...
But then
sex
why
comedy.
Are they doing things like trying to get in the way of other people's boyfriends? It's just like... it doesn't really make sense.
Especially
if you
want
to win, just keep fucking.
But yeah, I know. But also that. But there's like a sea of gay cliques in that resort. Like, why is it all of a sudden these four guys show up
and then Jaspers are like, so
damn, yeah, you know, yeah. It doesn't make any sense. And why? What's with the buzzing electronic thing in that other Jasper's bathing suit?
They had a special effects budget and they went.
Because they're trying to get into a frat that has three people in it.
Yeah, yeah. Like, what is
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
Well, my next note is RuPaul and Lady Bunny come out, and then I had a moment where I was like, oh, yay.
Maybe.
Why does Lady Bunny have milk squirting out of her boobs?
Well, because she's Lady Bunny. I mean, it's just gonna happen.
RuPaul is lovely. You know, it's good to.
She's great.
And he makes a funny gentrification joke where he's like, "The winner of the contest will be sent to New Jersey, which is about to be gentrified."
Yeah,
and that was the one time of the movie that I actually chuckled.
He's just like, "I'm here. I'm getting paid. Let's just do this." You know, he doesn't.
It's a real sport.
He doesn't get any shit on him. Mm-hmm. You know, but he never does. I actually interviewed RuPaul once, and it was a very lovely experience.
In person?
By phone for one of his album releases, and he told me that I was perfect and lovely.
You are perfect and lovely.
we're told that that's the slip and slide contest or whatever when they're on the beach. And we're told that the contest is to cornhole as many people as possible. Mm-hmm. Again, the mass production commodification of something that really should just be for fun, but whatever, I've said it already.
And it's a bunch of Leni Riefenstahl extras and like two grip guys who looks like they were just randomly put in bathing suits.
Yeah. And then that's when the shameless plugs also start happening for the companies that obviously gave money to
them. They just come at you.
And they're not even, I mean, and I appreciate that they even try to be funny about it by just putting numbers up on the screen, putting websites. Of course, this movie was made in 2008. Most of it's already outdated.
Obsolete. Even Manhunt is obsolete.
Is it?
Yeah, pretty much. Because
they still send me emails, so. I haven't visited it.
I get emails
years.
From Swiss Chalet. Perfect.
Either way, we're still going to eat some chicken.
Yeah.
You
know what's weird about this particular movie and this podcast is that I have notes, obviously, and obviously they're in chronological order, but I have no idea what happened in between my notes. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like my next note is what's with this crab thing, but I feel like it's way
that's
after.
Later. My next
what
note
happened.
My next note is that I thought Michael McKean played the waiter the morning that they're hungover because he really looked like Michael McKean, but I don't think it was him.
Mean.
Yeah, Michael McKean.
From
Lenny and Squiggy and Fernwood Tonight and the Christopher Guest movie.
Christopher Guest. He's married to Annette O'Toole.
Yeah.
He's an Oscar nominee.
Michael McKean, look him up.
Yeah, I know I will.
One guy says promiscuous sex is hot on paper, but worries, what if it changes things? And it's like, yeah, we know you're going to get over this in like 5 minutes, so why are we even having this conversation? He and his boyfriend are constantly like, these are the rules. And it's just like, you guys are just going to act like whores. So why are you taking 15 hours to tell us what your freaking rules are?
Oh, I know.
The guys are hot, though. No complaints.
They're hot.
A lot of them are.
But it's funny because, like, even from, what did you say this was, 2008? From 2008 to 2013, like, the male physical ideal has evolved. And everybody is super, super smooth. So it's this very outdated ideal of what is hot.
We meet the Latin guy who tells a really bad rooster joke that's not funny.
Mm-hmm. What did he say?
He tells some cock joke, then I don't remember what it is, and it's not funny. And then they both laugh their asses off when he meets him. And then,
which is actually kind of weird because then the rest of the whole movie until the end, he like runs away from cop the whole time.
It's true.
Why is he at spring break alone and protecting his virginity?
But wait, he's not alone because there was a scene
where
they're making out and they're like, oh, we can't go to my house. And you look and there's a silhouette of what looks to be his mother holding a birdcage. I don't even know what was going on there.
Oh, why was he with his mother at spring break at a resort? A resort that is an
absolute
whore's paradise.
Because he's clearly staying in the hotel.
And then there's that part where they're like, they end up at the home of the Jewish ladies who live, like, don't realize that they live in a place that haunts. A whore's paradise, basically.
Oh, totally.
Those ladies were fun, though. I wanted to hang out with them a little bit.
Daniel?
Oy vey. Oy vey.
What did she say? Shake your tuchus or something.
I've never seen so many old postmenopausal Jewish ladies be so sexually aroused by a bunch of tweets.
Well, you spent a lot of time in Florida.
I've spent enough
time in Florida. They saw that young guy, I don't even know who he is, but the one with the giant schlong. And there's that scene where her head went from the top all the way down to the bottom.
And if you're going to do a scene with a bunch of stereotypical old ethnic ladies, where was Lainey Kazan?
She was too busy doing... Oy vey, my son is gay.
I ask myself that question a lot.
Yeah.
Where is Lainey Kazan?
You ask that in the morning when you look in the mirror. Where is Lainey Kazan? So when Buddy has sex with the guy who has the fake man pussy toy, it's like
I'm eating
out of a horror movie. That was just
chocolate odd. Mousse too.
And that's where he uses the line from Romeo and Michelle that he steals for whatever that's reason. Right.
The flesh jack? The flesh jack. The man pussy.
Yeah, is that what it's called? Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and that was the guy with the really bad mohawk, where I was like, even in 2008, no one wore a hair like that.
Because I think somewhere in that scene, an actor looked right into the camera and was like, try my new flesh jack, available on fleshjack.com.
A lot of the attempts at making disastrous gay sex funny are just tasteless in a way that I really wanted to be on board for, and I couldn't.
Because disastrous gay sex is funny on its own.
Yeah, I suppose. And then there's also Power Bottom having sex in the jacuzzi, obviously making fun of Showgirls.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
except it's drawn out far too long. And why is Nico watching the whole time?
Nico watches everyone have sex.
Yeah. So there is a sexual hierarchy that is supported very, very unpleasantly in this movie because... And I'm not going to deal with how much this is in real life because we don't have time. But in media, for certain, there is a hierarchy whereby, like, the more you pass for straight, the more sexually appealing you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and the more fruity flaming you are, the less sexual you're allowed to be, even in a gay context. And in this movie, Nico never gets any action, and it's never really... He doesn't show up thinking, oh, I'll never meet anybody. Like, it's not even addressed. It's like, just assume that we know why he's not fucking around the way everybody else is fucking around. Because he's just happy to be girly and wear crazy outfits. And then at some point he meets a mermaid. And
out of nowhere,
feels sorry for himself. And then he has this, like, self-empowerment monologue at the end where he's freed through golden showers. but it's not... There's just something... This movie is far too comfortable with that idea of hierarchy in a way that I find very disturbing.
And it never...
Outdated.
And it never addresses it and deals with it head on.
Yeah.
Which it could have.
And again, I feel like it's because the director wishes he was one of the young and beautiful, pretty boys. And he's angry that he's not. And because everyone who has sex is punished in a very unpleasant way in this movie.
Which again, is unintentionally... totally apt of the contradictory messages.
And Nico's character is just, like, I mean, like I said, he's not even dressed like a woman most of the time. He looks like one of those bendy straws. Like, he's just really, I don't know. I, at this point, totally support the actors from the first movie who didn't want to do the sequel.
I hope they're all doing, like, CSIs and Law and Order.
They are.
Really at this point, I'm like, you guys weren't worried about being thought of as gay. You were worried about being thought of as stupid.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's funny, because I IMDb'd everyone from the first one and the second one. The only one who's apparently hasn't been acting or doing some sort of creative project is Andy, the power bottom.
Oh, interesting.
He's done one thing after this, and then that was pretty much it.
Correct me if I'm wrong, didn't he get DP'd in the first movie?
Yes.
That's how it ended,
right? That was his... Because it was all about them being liberated one way or the other from their virginity, and his was that.
Yeah. Okay, just wanted to make sure.
Because he's the one who fucks the quiche, right?
Yes.
Because that's their version of American Pie.
There's also the 5-minute vomit scene with Scott Thompson?
That is the point where a movie that has already been tasteless and disgusting has actually managed to outdo itself.
And is this like a parody of Team... Do you remember the scene in Team America when the puppet vomited in the alley for like 5 minutes? And when I saw that, I was under my chair laughing.
Yeah,
so
well, no, it's funny if Monty Python does it, if Family Guy does it, if Team America, but this, like, you're right, not even at the halfway point of this movie, it was just so crass and disgusting and unnecessary that doing that whole vomit
We've already got shit on
just,
people's noses,
and
now we've got, like, vomiting too.
Doesn't the nose shit come after, though?
Maybe, I don't know. It's all
the one where he sort of looks like Hitler?
Point. Yes. I watched all the special features on the DVD because at that point I realized I didn't deserve to be happy. Yeah. And
none of us deserve to be happy.
And when they're filming the vomit, they have behind the scenes filming the vomit scene, and the director's like, this is the scene that everyone's going to talk about. It's like, everyone's going to put aside Michael Haneke's Amour, and they're going to be intensely debating and like, oh my God, did you see that?
Can you write that think piece when you draw parallels between Amour and can you please write that for the HuffPo?
The presentation of crabs is beyond ridiculous. I can't even deal with it.
The dance party?
The dance party. The crabs get a fucking music video.
Yeah. Which is essentially like the best part of the movie because it's the most well done.
And it's also weird that in a movie where everybody is fucking everybody, the only thing that's really dangerous are the crabs.
Yeah. But the crabs, that whole like introduction to crabs was so weird because first it was the Asian guy, the Asian Jasper, who had crabs, and he just had them. So it wasn't introduced like, hey, look, we're gonna give people crabs. Yeah. It's just like, I have crabs, and then next thing you know, down the movie, next thing you know, it's like, oh, hey, I'm going to put crabs in someone's bag. Like, it doesn't, like, nothing
correlates. That's not how crabs work.
I know, and crabs are not the size of your fist on your pubic hair. Like, you don't need that. Yes, and in the driving scene, I really, really, really liked that animated hot dog rape scene. It was awesome. It was great.
I also want to be in a drive-in where, like, these guys are fucking like mad.
Right,
thank you. The next car, and I can't even
like,
hear the movie.
In like their mom's station wagon from 1984.
Yeah, yes, totally. And also the Let's Go to the Snack Bar cartoon is playing, which means the movie hasn't even started. Like, they,
no,
they like, haven't even been getting into it. Like, they just showed up. Yeah.
Yeah, and also that scene, it was weird because he whipped out the condom. He's like, I want you to fuck me. And then Luis was like, oh, I'm going to go get popcorn or something. And then he leaves, and then Scott Thompson, his dad, shows up as an angel.
As Baby Jane,
and I didn't even know it was Scott Thompson. I was just like, what?
I didn't know
this
that
is
either.
Like, it's a Gilbert Gottfried, Kathy Griffin crossover.
It's just
so weird.
To be Baby Jane. It's Betty Davis and Joan Crawford. Right?
I know, but like, she's so weird.
And it's another bad choice made by this director. And also, why is his virginity a moral conundrum for Andy anyway? Like, why is he so... Like,
he's fucking everything else. Why can't he get...
But I mean, like, why is he worried about taking the guy's virginity? It's just like, the only thing you should be worried about is whether or not he's any good, given that he's never done it before. Mm-hmm. But why is he just like, I don't know what to do. Like, why is this such a conundrum to the point that the angel and devil show up on his... Excuse me, on his shoulders?
I don't know. It's a unnecessary parallel to, like, straight culture, because I don't really know if straight... if gay people worry about virginity. Like, is that a... Was that a big deal? Like, oh my god, you're a virgin.
Like, virginity or ass virginity?
Ass virginity.
Like, I don't know how much girls worry about their husbands' ass virginity.
No, but, like, gays. Yeah, yeah, I mean, like, growing up, it's like, oh my god, I'm about to have butt sex, which, by the way, they always refer to anal sex as butt sex. Like, it's, like, it was never really a big deal, I don't think, in gay culture, was it?
Why is it when they end up at the...
Like, when you're growing up?
It was for me, but this is
was
another
it?
Podcast. This
Were you,
is
like,
a talk
that romantic?
Romantic?
That was so long ago, I don't remember a thing. I honestly don't. Why is it when they end up at the Jewish lady's house, they become go-go dancers?
Well, what else
would
they do?
Why don't they just give them a glass of lemonade and send them on their way?
They had to give them clothes. Because
they're
naked, remember?
And why do the Jaspers do that? Like, why do they steal their clothes? Because, again, the contest is to fuck as many people as possible, so I'm gonna ruin their day by making them be naked at a place that's full of young, pretty gay men.
Which, especially at the end, it's like, okay, party's over, everybody fuck. So everyone's at the pool having sex, obviously naked, so what's a big deal?
So why have you shamed these guys by stealing their clothes when they're okay with being naked most of the time?
And I'm sorry, if my schlong was 12 inches, I wouldn't care being naked.
Exactly.
And why is it that when they do steal their clothes, they end up not on the resort and end up at the Jewish lady's house?
I know, how close is that house?
Do they live just adjacent
It looks
to
like
the
they live on the golf course that is on the resort. Like, I don't really get that. Well, and also, why is Scott Thompson that guy's dad? Because at the beginning, I thought he was Nico's dad, wasn't he?
No, he's like the Eugene Levy part. So he was the dad of the protagonist.
Okay.
That much I know. That much I paid attention to.
Yeah. And then that's when we have the scene where the Jaspers having sex on their boat and they're not. Like, I don't like the idea of people having sex and not noticing that they're having sex. I find that very immoral.
Well,
because it pisses God off if you walk by the color purple. The pleasure of sex, let me embroider this on a pillow. The pleasure of sex is not losing your shorts. It's losing your head.
It's losing your heart. Oh. It's losing your heart.
Oh, please. I don't even remember having one of those either.
Can we talk about the bathhouse nightmare?
Oh,
is
my God.
The
zombie nightmare, which is fucking disgusting. And there's also people fucking with their towels on.
Which is when the musical number fit in. Which is when the Golden Showers number randomly fit in.
And they totally, like, cross over.
With the one muscle bear in the corner.
Right.
Oh, you noticed
that. Yeah, I sure did.
But you've skipped when he meets the mermaid, Stan the Mermaid, who, I don't know if you know, is played by an actual porn star.
Oh, I thought there was a few guys who just show up and then.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
because
Michael Lucas is at the end. Michael Lucas is lovely. Yeah.
Oh, the crazy crew, the crazy guy. Which is also gross.
If you're going to have a merman scene in a movie like this, why do you have to name him Stan? Like, could you not name him something more beautiful?
I was shocked because he's a gay porn star and I didn't know who he was and I thought I knew them all.
I thought it was Zac Efron at first.
I totally thought it was Zac Efron.
Brent Corrigan is his name. He's actually
notorious. That's not a sexy name. That sounds like an alt and like an indie.
And actually, in the end credits, he's listed as the official porn star of the movie. I guess it was another tie-in, like his website.
If I was Colton Ford or Michael Lucas, I would be upset. Mm.
Yes. He's a rather notorious porn star. He revealed later on that he started making adult movies while he was still underage, so he's like the gay Tracy Lords.
Oh, wow. Mm.
And then he was involved peripherally in a murder scandal that he wasn't implicated in. Yeah.
That's awful. Can somebody make that movie?
Yeah, I read about it online, and then this Brent Corrigan helped the police, like, solve the murder case and stuff, so he wasn't implicated in any way.
I hope he fucked his way through that investigation.
There's a lot of murders and suicides in gay porn.
Oh, yeah, well, again, that's for a different show. Anyway, so he's adorable, whatever, he's a mermaid, and...
But there's no resolution in that plot. He never magically
then
gets his legs so he could fuck
to make
Nico.
Make people feel good about himself. He can't find anyone at the resort who's going
to
like him.
I guess at the same time, this is littered with cameos, so I guess they just had to fit him in. And just like the whole Perez Hilton thing, unnecessary.
Yeah.
Like, it's just
a lot less annoying.
But he also,
very charming, Stan the Merman.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. No, and he's actually, he's doing more than gay porn now. He's actually acting in quote unquote legitimate movies.
Okay.
But like what? He makes I don't know.
12,
I can't
remember. Is he in 12 Years a Slave?
Yes, he's
Michael first person to email us and tell us the answer. We'll win a T-shirt.
What T-shirt?
But he makes
or an embroidered pillow.
He makes Nico feel good about himself. Except as I said before, we never established that Nico wasn't feeling good about himself. We don't see Nico try and fail.
He has a couple of wistful looks.
But
that's
he never tries to go get together with a guy and nothing happens. Shows up, he goes to the beach, he puts a towel on his head, and just hangs out. He never seems
to get sexually rejected by people.
Yeah, and so it's never... like, and then he's like, I haven't gotten any stamps. I'm like, you're not even trying. Why am I feeling sorry for
you? Except he is a part of the bathhouse nightmare sequence.
Yeah, and then he does a musical number.
Of course.
Yeah.
Which is what I do at bathhouses.
And then the crabs get a musical number. And then we have that morning jack-off scene. Why do they all sleep in the same bed?
They only got one king-size bed.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a mistake or something.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And no one's dick is big enough to make that big a tent pole, by the way.
Well, thank you, right?
And also, why do they look at us and they're like, ah, fuck it, let's just do this? This movie has had no boundaries up until this point. Do you really think we're going to be like, but you guys are friends?
Yeah, like, super awkward. Like, speaking of awkward,
like we're
there's
gonna
that,
disapprove.
There's that stupid scene where Perez Hilton comes out of the closet and then he's doing a parody as a Carrie's mother or something.
Oh, yes.
And then he goes back in, they're like, awkward. I was just like, oh, that's so dated, too.
They take care of their crabs very quickly, I must say.
They do. They shave, don't they?
Then we have another product placement with the Aussie bum underwear.
Yes, and I love that RuPaul has an actual line where she says, complimentary.
Good for her.
I love her.
Has Aussie bum been rendered? Has Aussie bum been rendered obsolete by Andrew Christian? Is that what happened?
Probably.
In our culture,
that aspect of clothing I find has a very high turnover rate. Mm-hmm. Like, who wears body anymore?
Remember that?
Or To Exist? Wasn't To Exist a thing?
Sure.
Yeah. That's true.
Then the Jaspers are
great
again making nefarious plans for no reason, and then they make one of the Jaspers bleed, and it's up shown up close.
Oh, I know, like,
And then
it's like somebody gave them a horror budget or something.
But that's
the whole zombie thing was like there's a clip of what of seeing inside one of the bathhouse rooms, and they're actually eating intestines, and I was like. I mean, I'm a huge horror fan, so I was like, good on you, another gay sequel. But then I was like, it's so gross.
But it's a matter of context.
It's weird, yeah.
And this movie that is like, is supposed to be sexy and fun, is also constantly... That's why I think that this director has a problem with sex. Like, he has an anger problem with sex.
I think a lot of gay men have a weird problem and
predilection
with sex.
But maybe some of us express it a little more healthily by simply fucking people and not calling them after. Like, we don't make movies where we try to make people feel as hatefully disgusted as possible. Because then we have the super glue scene... Where he rips off a piece of his ass, and then again, this movie that has already been way too over the top and grossing me out has now gone even further, as if that was possible.
Yeah,
like that is some Cape Fear shit going on.
It's, if you think about it,
like
which
he
you
rips
shouldn't.
Off a piece of his ass. That's gross.
It's really gross.
I didn't even want to think what's happening in his rectum.
And
know what? He's like, got super glue in
his ass.
Well,
I was really afraid because as soon as he ripped off his ass, he was like, oh my God, don't pull, you're going to pull out my rectum. I was like, I do not want to see
I know,
that.
And
I'm
at
sorry.
This point, we believe that we are going to see a colon removed.
Oh.
A colon removed.
I just find this movie immoral and I feel so prudish saying it.
That's another sequel. Another gay sequel. A colon removed.
No, that's a really serious one about like gays in small towns.
Well, they do announce at the end of the film that they're going to make part three and it's going to take place in space, which of course is now playing in theaters and it's called Gravity. In which Sandra Bullock takes over the role of Nico.
Doesn't she sort of have like a dykish haircut in the movie? Oh, I haven't seen it. I haven't
Julie
seen
Klausner
yet,
said
but...
she looked like Brian Benben. That made me laugh.
Dream on.
And then after that is when we have the barfing scene.
I really wish Scott Thompson wasn't in this movie. Yeah. I really
My favorite barfing scene is from the unfortunately short-lived TV show The Comeback with Lisa Kudrow, where she played... You must have seen The Comeback.
No.
The HBO
We're
series.
About this
you
I
have
know
to
it,
see The Comeback. Yeah. And there's an amazing... The show climaxes with an amazing double vomit scene.
Oh, amazing.
And in the bathhouse scene, they spoof Thriller, which is just sacrilege as far as I'm concerned.
And well, it's done.
It is done. We already saw 13 going on 30.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and then we have the NakedSword.com product placement, and then Liberation through Water Sports, which is just bullshit. Like, it's just complete bullshit.
It's total bullshit. But let's not forget the zombies were fisting zombies.
Right.
Don't forget that.
Yes. Why does he interrupt an orgy to give a speech about water sports? It's not like
and how he was free through. And it's not about how he discovered his. It's specifically about water sports. It's
but
not
also,
about
why
how...
does anyone there care? No one in that orgy is anyone he needs to worry
it's
about.
It's his Lady Gaga moment where he's embracing his little inner monster.
But seeing
as
how we haven't seen these people reject him, we don't need to see him empower himself in front of them.
But also empower the people when he does the whole, like, Carpenter thing, like calling all occupants of interplanetary craft, and then all the weird people come downstairs and, like, we're really horny too. It was really bizarre. They were like, but it was such a mishmash of people. It wasn't just geeks, or it wasn't transgendered people.
Yeah, and
it also
comes out of nowhere.
It was a guy with glasses. I know. That was his affliction.
But it's also
glad he was farsighted.
Up until this point, the movie has not been about the unfairness of
the gay sexual pecking order.
Right. In which case, why is it suddenly...
You gotta set it up if you're gonna bring it out and resolve it.
Absolutely.
Right?
And then we have Michael Lucas as a pizza boy who looks like he's just showing up and having a good time. I love Michael Lucas. He's one of my favorites.
And he has sort of like a Kathleen Turner indecipherable accent going on.
Well, because he's from Israel.
Okay.
And he basically, he's a little Jewish boy who came to California with a dream and now he has a gay porn empire.
I really hope that's
like owns
really
his own, he has his
I really
own
hope
studio.
I really hope that his family are the elderly Jewish ladies in that scene. I really hope they're all the Lucases.
But wasn't, you know the scene where with the super glue and he rips off his ass, wasn't that guy a porn star too?
Colton Ford, yeah.
Is that Colton Ford?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's so hot. He's a singer now. He's like a dance.
He's not hot anymore.
He does like gay dance, like a, you
just
know.
Stop, I don't want to hear it. I don't hear
There's
it.
So much
it's
I need
okay.
to tell you
no.
about Colton Ford.
And that's, after that we have the Jasper eating shit out of a guy's ass because that's his punishment for having been a bitch this entire time.
And that's where he got the Hitler mustache.
Yeah.
6 million.
Where we have a full-on showing of contempt for sex in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I told a friend of mine about how much I hated this movie. And he's like, I think of those movies as just like jack-off movies anyway. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I kind of see
not
that.
Not literally.
But they're not, though, because there's, like, a few moments where pretty guys have sex, but then something gross happens.
Yeah, by the time
it
you get a semi,
right,
it's just ruined.
Yeah, and also, like, it's not that hard for me to find actual gay porn, so why would I... Yeah,
the thing is, like, I get it. Like, it's trying to be spoof, it's trying to be satire, quote-unquote, you know, like Airplane and Naked Gun and all those movies.
Yeah.
But gay. But I had to fight myself from being so angry and tell myself, just relax, like, look at it, it's farce. But it's so badly done.
I think
it's
that's
insulting.
Because, I think it's because it sets up fantasies and then punishes you for, you know what I mean?
For
like
watching it.
It sets up a fantasy sequence, which is that you show up at this place where there's nothing but beautiful men who are always naked and ready to fuck.
Yeah.
But then every time something happens, something gross and something punishing happens. So that's not a jackpot.
You're punished for having sex.
Which
no,
is
not
that
at all.
Everything is accompanied with the guilt that takes the form of really gory violence, you know, or some like scatological, disgusting, whatever. It's not.
I couldn't even get past the product placement. Like, I emotionally shut down.
Yeah, but after a while, you just come to accept it, and you're just like, whatever. And all of those brands are practically dead.
Anyway. Well, yeah, I was going to say, there are websites, I mean, Naked Sword is still around, but because I'm a member, but is there are other websites that they promote that I don't know if they're still there. I meant to look
up. Do you get a discount on hotels if you're a Naked Sword member, like internationally? What do you do?
To
get air miles.
Yeah. I wonder if they have a Visa card that I can use for points.
That would be amazing.
It's called Discovery. Well, I mean, throughout the whole movie, let this be a lesson learned, because I actually did go to Fort Lauderdale, not during spring break, but right before, and I had a miserable, miserable time as
a
gay man.
Sorry.
Why?
So
it's it's a story that you need 10 bottles
Fort
of
Lauderdale.
Wine for.
Okay.
Yeah.
Next podcast.
Or
Next
Your
podcast.
World
One. Yeah.
That's all I have for my notes. Do you guys have anything else
that
you haven't
nothing.
Covered?
No.
Pass the chocolate.
No, really. I mean, each movie that we've done, I mean, you know, you try to find something, a redeeming quality from it, and I really don't have one.
No, you found Colton Ford.
Yeah, but then you destroyed that by telling me he's a singer now.
He's
so.
Like a Real Housewife style
That's
singer
like
too.
On Cougar Town, when she's like, you're the only guy who gets less hot when you pull out a guitar.
I love it.
All right, you can visit us on the web at badgamemovies.com. We do take donations, so please feel free to drop us a tip. There's a link on the website, or you can just do PayPal, badgamemovies2013@gmail.com. Put that in the receiver space. We are on Facebook. Please like us. We are on iTunes, so please subscribe, and please leave us a review. We would very much appreciate it. We are on Twitter, at badgamemovies. We are now on Instagram as well, at Bad Gay Movies, and we're getting wonderful feedback.
I'm
going to
take
that.
A picture of the chocolate mousse and post
and,
it.
And where else
what
are
is Instagram
we?
Instagram for, if not
we'll,
for food
We'll find
and
our
gas.
Way onto Reddit, Tumblr. We're slowly taking over the social media multi.
We're on Friendster.
We're on Friendster.
We're on Naked Sword.
And MySpace.
So please join us for our forthcoming episode 12.
We should get a Manhunt profile.
We should.
Goodbye.
Bye.